This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reiberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, welcome and thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reiberger, and today's topic is a Conversations with Carol show. Any of you that are new to my radio format will learn that today is a day where it's really all about you. I'm going to not really have any specific topic I'm going to be covering. I usually do energy updates so it can kind of give us a sense of why all this energy is where it is, how it's affecting us physically. And then the whole show is devoted to taking your calls and answering your questions and sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. Now, if you do have a topic that you want me to cover on my radio show, then I just encourage you to go to my website, www.ritberger.com. And then if you go to the radio, then submit a topic and a suggestion. And then if I do use it on the air, I'll get in touch with you and I'll send you a free autographed book, either What Colors Your Personality or Healing Happens with Your Health, as a thank you for supporting my work and for being a listener. So if you are new, that's what today is. If you are an oldie, as I call it, or a wisdom keeper, as I'm really liking it, as I'm beginning to get up there where people start calling me ma'am and a few of the other things, I decided that in that particular case, if you know what I do on Conversations with Carol, then I encourage you to call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada, and also the same number for international callers. All you have to do is dial your international calling code, and then 877-230-3062. So I look forward to hearing from you and taking your call and sharing my skills with you. Now, as far as what you can ask me, you can really ask me about health. I'll share my medical intuitive skills, but of course, being an intuitive, it can cover a lot of different areas as well. So if you have a question about relationships or about a career change or anything like that, I can certainly help you with that. Only thing I'm really not versed at is, what are you going to be when you grow up? I haven't figured that out myself. And in fact, the more I'm learning about life and understanding from my near-death experience is that really in reality, while maybe the world as we know it and the people around us want us to grow up, the fact is the soul never does. It has this wonderful, playful part about it, and it sees every experience as if it's the first time that we actually are being involved in the process. So again, I don't think we're ever going to grow up, and if we do, then that means usually that our work is done and we're ready to transition to the other side. So my mantra for 2012 is never grow up, always see things for the first time, and let that playful part of ourselves out, myself out, that I can find that joy and excitement and that passion that I've been looking for a long time that I get, and then it changes and evolves. So that's a lot of what the energy of 2012 is about, with the energy of abundance, is it's really all about the abundance and the way we look at it. And I share all the time in my classes that abundance is abundance. If you think scarcity, you get an abundance of scarcity. If you think lack, you get an abundance of lack. If you think that you're not lovable, you get an abundance of not being lovable. On the other hand, if you think joy, you get an abundance of joy. If abundance means wealth to you or prosperity, then what you can do is you have to think in that prosperity mindset, and then what you get is an abundance of prosperity. But one of the real things at the very root of this whole energy that we're moving into in 2012 is all about passion and finding our passion. And that passion is very different for each of the different personality colors, as I teach it in my work. But it also is something that one size doesn't fit all around passion. So you have to really go in and do some evaluation and what really brings that joy to you, what brings that smile to your heart, what brings the smile to your eyes, what do you look forward to, what gets you up out of bed in the morning when maybe the world feels like it's just really heavy and so forth. Those are the things about passion, and it can be anywhere from the work that you're doing to the work that you dream of doing, whether it can be an avocation or a vocation. It really doesn't make any difference, but the energy to create the abundance has to begin at the place of passion. And one of the things that I've found right now around this entire setup energetically for the time of 2012 and this beautiful flow of energy and the support that we're getting from the universe and all of our guides and all of our angels is that the energy is very, very intense right now. And it really has to do with letting go. And that letting go is a process that we always go through in life, every experience. We experience it for the first time. We go through the process. It matures. Then that experience becomes burdensome. Maybe the thoughts and beliefs around it become burdensome. And then it has to go through a natural decay or decline or death process so something new can be built and created. And so right now the energy is very fast. It's very furious. It's very intense. And what you're finding in the energy right now is the time that you create a thought to the manifestation of that thought, that lets you know that the cycle is shortened. So once you think it, it manifests. If the results of what you're thinking isn't what you want your life to be, then you literally go back and change the thoughts, which then leads to the next part of the energy cycle we're in right now. And we've really been in this energy cycle throughout our life, but it's becoming much more intense, as I mentioned. And what that is, it's the letting go time, where we're really letting go of a lot of the dysfunctional relationships. And, you know, that has a lot of clinical implications from a psychological standpoint with the word dysfunctional, but I really want to strip it down. And what I mean by dysfunctional is it's any relationship we're engaged in that causes us to feel compromised. When we feel compromised, then we become stressed. When we become stressed, then we struggle, we suffer. And that's the dysfunctional part of a relationship. Now, we all know that relationships are going to have highs and lows. When they're in the highs, then they're a lot of fun. When they're in the lows, then that's the time for us to question, is this relationship in my best interest? Do I have to act and be someone different than who I am? How does that make me feel? If it makes me feel insufficient or it feeds my fears or insecurities or inadequacies, it's a real mindful time right now in the intensity to step back and say, you know, is this relationship done? Have I basically learned from it? Can I take this relationship and let the old ways decay, decline, and die, and then create a new part of this relationship? Is there a new chapter? So again, intense rejection of a lot of the dysfunctional relationships. And the gift of that is that we're letting go of our conditioning. And in order for us to find passion, we have to move beyond those self-limitations that are really created in our informative years of birth to 13, where we try so hard to fit and be in order to be accepted or belong or to be loved. And then what we do is we basically lose ourselves. And as a result, that passion that gets us up out of bed in the morning seems to get further and further back into the mental and psychological archives, and it's more difficult for us to find it. So again, remember, abundance is abundance. A lot of us are actually creating letting go of relationships that we've had for a long time. Maybe it has to do with a family member or someone else, and we're letting go of those relationships to the point that we're not allowing them, or the obligation that we feel around the relationship, or the guilt that we experience. We're no longer allowing those emotions and those beliefs to drive us to continue to be in relationships that really limit who we are and basically depress depression. In my world, excuse me, is depressed energy. Excuse me. And so what it does is it just gives us a chance to be able to go in and to do some healing work with the people in our lives, healing work with old relationships, current relationships, but most importantly, the energy that we're in right now with the intensity is giving us an opportunity to really revisit the relationship we have with ourselves. And, you know, if we find ourselves saying things to ourselves that we wouldn't say to our worst enemy, we need to stop that, because that robs us of the passion. It really creates the abundance of the limitations, and it buries us even deeper in the minutiae of all these distorted self-perceptions that we have. So this really is a time in the intensity and the quickening of it and the furiousness of it. It's really a chance for us, as I say, to get back into our skin and to look at our relationship with ourselves. And if it isn't healthy, then create a healthy relationship. And that starts for me, and I share this all the time, it starts with the first thing you do in the morning, and that's look in the mirror. And if you look in the mirror and the very first thing you do is like, wow, bad night, bad hair, bad face, bad makeup, bad tummy, bad this, bad that, then what you do is you actually create an energy around your body, in your body, that basically is like old heavy baggage that we carry, and that sets the tone for the entire day. So something as simple as just learning to, you know, when you look in the mirror in the morning, it's like, well, good morning, Carol, how are you today? And I always ask that question. And instead of going, oh, aches and pains and everything, it's like, I'm feeling great today. And, you know, I look at my eyes, and instead of saying, okay, well, this with my eyes, I look at something that I like, and I find something every morning that I really like about who I am. I love my smile, and so I smile at myself, and it's amazing what something as simple and really sounds very silly, but something as simple and as silly can literally change the entire energy, not only in your body, but the energy in your day and the people that you're going to attract. So again, this energy is intense. Probably don't need to tell you that, but it is. And so it's a wonderful time for us to let go. And that's really what the energy is. So this is a Conversations with Carol show. So let me jump in, and I'm going to start taking calls. I'll keep touching on these little bits of and pieces about the energy and where we are now in the sequence and what we're doing throughout the show. But I really want to jump in, and let's take Jan from Las Vegas. Hi, Jan. How are you, sweetie?
Hi. Oh, Carol, thank you so much. Right away, I appreciate this so much. I've talked to you before, and I don't like to call unless it's really important, and I've gotten a lot worse now. But I wanted to tell you something. The last time I talked to you, which was quite a while ago, you told me that I needed to get involved in my art and anything artistic, and that I had that I was good at this. And well, as it turned out, I started writing poems because my mom died, and now my brother just died a month ago, and but since I started writing poems, I got one of them published. So you told me you were, you were just right. You were right on. And when you told me all that, I thought, what is she talking about? And I had no idea that I was even ever in the world ever going to be doing this. And here I am doing this stuff. And you said it. So.
Well, you know, sweetie, I would love to take all that credit, but I'll tell you what, your soul was just in there going, Carol, say this, Carol, say that, do this, Carol, do that, Carol. And Carol just sits here, and she just dances around and puts words to thing, and it's like, oh my gosh, I hope it makes sense. So very, very good. So let's go. So what has happened is that your body, sweetie, that is taking this? Okay, so let's go there.
My condition has just gotten a lot worse, and I can't take medicines for it. And the doctor, I've gone to a new doctor, an osteopath, and he's found all these infections and the hormones are down, but I can't take antibiotics for the infections. So I'm trying to do it with herbs and things. But I'm really, oh boy, I'm not doing good. And I'm wondering if you see if it's mostly infection or if it's mostly hormones or both or
Well, the reality of it is that, you know, going in, and I'm going to do it a little bit psychologically first so I can give you, you know, with the loss of your mom, I remember talking to you about the stuff, and, you know, the loss for any loss of a mother is really impactful. But when a daughter loses a mother, it's like a part of us literally dies with her.
Oh, yes.
And so that grieving process, sweetie, takes us a lot longer as females with that relationship with the mother.
Yeah.
And we think that we should get through it more quickly. In fact, friends encourage that. And what that does, sweetie, is in that working through it, it keeps the energy and the immune system depressed. It's like being in a constant chemical chaos of trying to get your energy up, deal with things psychologically. So in that process, I first want to not use it as an excuse, but to tell you that your body was already in a weakened state before all this stuff started hitting you with the loss that you've experienced.
Yeah.
So once we did that, and now with the loss of your brother, with the energy, you are much better in this loss.
Yes, I am.
Of your mother, you're much better, sweetie. But by the same token, it's always throws us into an identity crisis. And now here you are writing poetry and you're, you know, doing this. So you're creating that new identity. You've got all these things going on. So first of all, the reason I shared that is that please be patient with yourself.
Okay.
Be patient with your body. I do pick up that your body's trying to right itself. I've done this ever since I touched you the first time.
Mm-hmm.
It's still trying to be able to find its rhythm. And when that is still there, while we may not feel it or experience it on a day-to-day basis, that lets me know that your immune system is still alive, it's healthy, it's well, it's still trying to do what it can, it is doing what it can, it just can't do it as quickly as your body needs.
Okay.
So, having said that, the main thing that I have going on in your body right now is I have that low-grade infection.
Yeah.
The hormone part of it, you're kind of, you're bouncing around, but actually that feels like it's beginning to stabilize.
Okay.
I can pick it up with your sleep. I can pick it up with your moods. I can pick it up with the serotonin changes. I can get this optimism, this hope that honestly, when I first touched you, I had to dig really deep to find it.
Oh, good.
So that's there.
Okay.
Now, having said that, we're dealing with a physical body issue. We know that the psychological part, that's going to take time.
Right.
I don't know what that time looks like, but physically. So from an antibiotic standpoint, to support you, you're absolutely right in your not being able to take antibiotics, and I'm going to tell you why. You take an antibiotic, honey, and within 36 hours of taking that, your body is building an immunity against the antibody.
Oh.
So when you take it, while the intent is for it to support your immune system is actually creating an immune response from the antibody, so you're not getting any support.
Okay.
The
that makes perfect sense to me, because I used to take many, many antibiotics. And is that why my immune response does this now? Because I took
absolutely.
So many? Oh, okay.
Absolutely. It said, and I mean, what we don't want to do is we don't want to continue the antibodies that you were taking because they're not doing any good.
Right.
Your body just, it's immune to them. It doesn't do anything.
Okay.
And the thing that we don't want to do is we don't want to use all the antibiotics that are available, because if you do find that you need one, we've got to introduce something new into your body that your body is going to go, whoa, this is new, this is good, and I can act on it before it builds up its own immunity.
Right, right.
So having said that, working with the osteopath and working with herbs, that will support your immune system to some extent.
Okay.
But what I would encourage you, and I'm thinking as I'm talking about this, I'll continue to think it through. What we have, sweetie, is we have a buildup of toxin in the blood itself based on this infection. And one of the things that it might be worthwhile, and my sense is maybe an internist would be the best place to start. You know, I'm not anti-doctor. You know me about that.
Yeah.
But I don't want to waste time and energy with this. But we need to know why your hemoglobin count is as low as it is.
Okay.
Because the quality of your blood is got some toxin in it. And your immune system for a long time has been trying to purify your blood, and it's not being able to.
Right, right.
So it might be that hematologist or someone that could work and specializes with blood could do just some simple blood work on you to be able to go in and to see what is the quality of your blood. Where is your red blood count, your white blood count? But even more than that, you know, what is your sedimentation? When they take your blood, how quickly does it, the sediment of it settle out to the where we've got good, clean, quality blood and so forth? So that may be something that can be of help to you also. My sense is, Jan, that this predisposition for antibiotics in the blood was something, sweetie, that you've had in your genetics for a long time, Okay. And it was part of the transition and the process of what caused your mother to finally transition into light. There's some connection there that has a genetic predisposition for blood immune system to be unstable in how it communicates with each other. I'm not sure.
She had so many infections before the last 10 years. She had one after the other, and we tried so hard, and she just couldn't get rid of them, and it just eventually killed her. And that's a couple of the nurses in the hospital said, "Do you have the same thing your mom has?" And I said, "I might."
And that's something to seriously look into.
Okay.
And I'm going to be really clear, because boy, your soul just stood up at attention to me and said, for me to say this to you, just because if they do find you have the same thing that your mother did, you are different in the quality of your blood. Your liver is still functioning optimally. It's still filtering. It's still trying to cleanse the blood. It's still doing the different things that it's designed to do. Your mother, on top of the other complications, her liver enzymes were low. Her liver wasn't functioning properly. So my sense is that maybe she even had a bout of hepatitis when she was younger. It just was a myriad of things that basically created it. Mm-hmm. But this blood impurity toxin buildup is genetic, and it's something that I would really encourage you to explore. Find out even if to run, excuse me, the test to see if it is the same thing, and then see what they can do. So, medicine has come so far in being able to deal with immune system disorders through hemoglobin and through the different things that they do with the purifying of the blood with some medication that isn't an antibiotic that literally can turn your body around.
That's what I was wondering, like purifying the blood, like couldn't it be like a, what do you call it when they do that? They put that machine and clean your blood out, dialysis.
Dialysis, a form of dialysis, they can do that. But it may very well be, if we know what we're really working with and we can get, you know, that picture of it and that understanding of it, it may be something like chelation that can help. I don't know.
Okay. Okay.
But there may be other things that your osteopath could be able to help you with
that
would get you on the track of getting your blood back pure. Because, sweetie, as long as that infection is in the blood, the immune system is going to continue to do its job. Good news, it is.
Yeah.
But the downside of it is over the course of time, it just gets tired.
Right, exactly. And it's been, I've had this for so long, but now it's just gotten so bad that I'm so disabled now, and I feel so thick, or I don't know, funny all
it's
over.
It's just a general malaise. It's just, I get in. I mean, everything feels like it's an effort. Every organ feels like it's an effort. Every task is an effort. Getting energy is an effort.
Yeah.
And what we need to do is go in and look at that. Also, your soul wanted me to tell you, your soul is your blood. It is the lifeline that animates every cell in your body.
Wow.
Your poetry connects you with your soul.
Yeah.
And what I encourage you to do, sweetie, is your soul is saying to me, why don't you write yourself some poetry that's part of your healing?
Okay.
And why don't you keep that in a journal? Because for some reason, that's going to be a book. But what would you say to your blood? What would you say? What would your soul say to your blood? How do you find the life force within you? How do you connect with that beautiful soul part of you and the universe? Use that as part of the healing as well, sweetie.
Oh, that's really nice. That's beautiful.
And then go, let's get this blood thing identified. Let's jump on it. Again, sometimes it can be very costly. Do you have
Medicare,
insurance?
Yeah, I have Medicare.
Oh, this
I
is
mean,
perfect.
They'll do anything, but the last time that all my blood was taken by the last doctors, they don't, and I've mentioned this to them, and they don't say anything. They just say, well, your blood is fine, but you have some infections in your bowel. And so that's all they say. And I say, but isn't it in the blood? Don't I need something? And so far they haven't completely picked it up, you know, a little, you know, not totally, but they get it. But they're not like I know what you're saying is real because I can feel it.
Yeah.
I can feel it all through my blood, you know.
Absolutely. And so what you do, sweetie, is you just keep telling them and connect it to your mother and connect it to the predisposition and ask if there's anything genetic. And what that'll do is my sense is it'll trigger new thinking, a new way to look at it, and then they can look for a genetic predisposition, or they can look at a pattern that, you know, was tied to your mom. That changes the whole dynamics than us walking in and saying, you know, I just don't feel good, and
right.
and so forth with it.
Okay, that sounds excellent. Thank you so much.
You are so
beautiful.
Welcome, and congratulations on the poetry. And you know, I am going to take a little credit, even though I probably should, but I'm going to.
Yes, you definitely should. Absolutely. Oh my gosh, it was you who prompted me with that, and then it came true. I couldn't believe it. So, I give you all the credit.
You made me cry, but they're wonderful tears. I love you. Thank you for that.
I love you too. Thank
keep
you.
Keep me posted. All
I
right.
I will. Okay.
Okay. What I'd like to do is let's take a quick commercial break right now. I need to put myself back together and enjoy these tears of joy and happiness and passion for the work that I do. So stay tuned. I'm going to be right back after this commercial break.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Well, welcome back. If you're just joining me today is a Conversations with Carol show. And what that means is that I've been sharing a little bit about the energy and kind of the craziness as far as how fast and furious it is and the opportunities that we have to let go at the end of 2011, getting prepared for 2012. But more importantly, the Conversations with Carol show is really about taking your calls and sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. And again, the calls can be about your health. It can be about maybe relationships or a job change or a change in general. So again, I am taking your calls. So thank you very much for supporting me. If you do have a question for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in U.S. and Canada. And then also in international callers, the same number, 877-230-3062. And I'm very blessed to always have my phone lines very busy, but don't give up on me because I try to get through calls as quickly as I can. Again, always being very conscientious to be sure that if we're going to open that door, then I can provide enough information to close it. But if you do have a call for me, keep on trying and we'll go ahead and share information at that point in time and just answer your calls. So the energy right now, I talked about letting go. That's letting go of dysfunctional relationships. Also, letting go of misbeliefs that we have about ourselves and who we are. That's part of that self-perception that literally can distort the way we see ourselves and becomes the limiters in what we believe that we're capable of doing. The soul believes in us completely. It knows that we have no limitations. We're capable of anything we put our mind to, that we can perceive clearly as far as what we want. And it always asks us to add that little touch, or a lot, but just a little touch of passion, and then we're able to really let go of the limiters that we have. A lot of the things that we're experiencing in this, also the end of the year with this letting go, is a lot of the grief and a lot of the loss that we have around our identities. While our identities may not be the healthiest for us, they've certainly been of great value. They help us survive. They help us actually get in and to learn more about ourselves. They're the impetus behind self-growth and spiritual evolution. But when we lose a part of ourself in that old identity through the creating of a new one, there's always a little bit of grief and a sense of loss that we go through. And please be very kind to yourself, even if it's a belief about yourself or a habit that you've been carrying around for a long time, wanting to get away from it for a long time. Please know that on the other side, you're just going to get this little twinge of still feeling some of that loss. The other thing is that we're going to find, I had this last night in a tele-summit that I did with Soul Felt Spiritual and Wellness Series. We are talking about all the loss that is being experienced at this time. We have a lot of people that are basically leaving this earth, and there's a sadness and a loss that comes with that and the finality. One of the ways that I try to look at it after touching the other side of my near-death experience is that while we experience it in our humanness as a great loss because we're not going to be able to see them or touch them or to experience them, it's a way to look at it that their work is done. They've contributed significantly to where we are energetically. They've done a wonderful, marvelous job, even though people may not understand that, to complete their work. And they really are letting go and going to the light and being able to support us who are still in form to continue on our journey to do our work. They become our guides, our angels, our teachers. They really love us. They support us. They've been there. They've done that. They understand us. And so what we have is we are having a lot of loss as far as human life throughout the entire world. And at that point in time, if we could rejoice that loss while there is that human grieving, and realize and celebrate the fact that they have literally completed their work and now they're going to help us on the other side, then the whole way that we look at this loss changes significantly, and the whole way that we look at life and our patterns of beliefs and our habits and everything changes when we start to realize that a door must close before another one is open. So that's the energy right now that's going on in 2012. So let's go in. I want to jump in. Let's go for Sharon, because it is a Conversations with Carol. Sharon from Ohio. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Carol. Thank you so much for taking my call. And I just like everything you're talking about today. It's such a timely message.
It is. And, you know, for me, for you, and for all of us. So anyway, so how can I help you, honey?
Yes. I have a friend that was, he was actually one of my spiritual teachers, and he's been recently diagnosed with lymphoma of the brain at the primary site, which is unusual. It's only 1% of the cases. And we've drawn really close. I've been trying to help him. I was a nurse. I used to work oncology, and I know a lot of alternative. And I didn't know if you got any feeling as to maybe, because it is so rare. He was very healthy. I mean, ate well and everything. He did work around chemicals in the printing business, but I don't know if you get any feel for anything that maybe might help him at this point in time. The chemo has reduced it to a small, but, you know, the prognosis is that they grow back. They don't have any luck with this as far as in the medical field.
Well, that is very true from a medical perspective with it. Lymphoma overall is a cancer. Is one that can go into remission and then come back and go into remission and then come back. As you said, with the brain aspect of it, the neurological and the brain aspect of it, then it's an entirely different beast. One of the things that I can first and foremost, and you know this, but I do need to put it into words, is that he was a very deep thinker. And when I say he was, that isn't to imply that he's ready to transition. None of us ever knows what that is. But he was a very deep thinker. And one of the frustrations that I'm picking up with him right now is the fact that he can't seem to take his thoughts and to go to the depth that he did. And as a result, I'm picking up that he's feeling like he's lost his spiritual connection with himself, with his deep memories that he has and the work that he's done, and that he's not able to really access that spiritual part of him that is connected to himself and then also to that divine creator that he believes so strongly in. So one of the things that you can do to help him is that you can help him either yourself or garnering the help of other people that have worked with him to help him remember how much he's helped and how deep his thinking is and how meaningful and how valuable his messages have been and how insightful he was in helping people. And what that'll do is in this process of his brain trying to figure out how to survive, and that's the exquisite part of the human body. It just builds detour after detour. If something doesn't work, it tries to find another way. And what we can do is we can create, instead of those long-term deep thinking memories he's going to, we can create those short-term memories in a different part of the brain that can help him continue to do his work in a way that he can measure his warm, fuzzy feelings, he can measure his success, he can measure the value he brings to people, the difference that he makes in his short-term memory. That can be, again, the most powerful way to do that is to reaffirm through testimonials, through whatever it may be, that can help him remember that he is a deep thinker. He is very connected to his spirit. It's just that his brain's having to work around these different anomalies in it in order to find a way to get to those old memories. And what that'll do is it'll also help boost his spirits. It'll help boost his confidence. He tends to, when I touch his energy, he's a bridge person, meaning that he has one foot in the physical world, he has one foot in the spiritual world, meaning the universe and that higher creative mind, and that he can still bridge that world. He's got a lot of positiveness about him, but he's having trouble remembering what it looks like, sounds like, how to do it. So if you could help him with that, that would be of great value.
Oh, okay. And, do you think that, I mean, do you see any emotional reason why this came about that could maybe be corrected and that he could go into remission for a long time?
Oh, absolutely. And he's been doing emotional release work since you've really had a chance to know him. Look at where he's been in the last 13 months. He has really let go of a lot of emotional, I'm going to say baggage, because that's what it feels like to me. Uh-huh. He's had to reinvent himself. He's had to create new identities. The thing that I pick up is that inside with him, it feels like deep, deep inside, I found two things. One is that there was an inner irritation that he just couldn't do more. You know, he's with one foot in one world and one foot in the other world, 24 hours could be like, you know, eons. And when he's limited by the humanness, then he gets frustrated and irritated that he can't do more. And then the next emotion that I feel is sadness. And that's an emotion that he feels like he's been working on for a long time. And being an oncologist nurse and understanding the loss and the grief and the way that we have to psychologically go through those five different steps, help him through those steps. And again, I think that if we can support him by reaffirming how much he's made a difference in people's lives and how impactful he's been, then that sadness in that short-term memory will become joyful. And I think that that's part of the healing of that sadness as well.
Okay. I missed something when you said the second one. Was that what you said was sadness?
Mm-hmm. It was. That's the sadness.
Okay, because I didn't hear that word. Somehow
yes, yes. Yeah, so and as an oncologist nurse, you understand the psychological ramifications of any time anybody's diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah.
We go through the five different emotions.
Yeah.
The emotion that dwells the longest in this process is sadness. Sadness our life may end, sadness we didn't do more in his particular case, sadness that we didn't change as many lives as we wanted to. We really go in and do a lot of soul searching. So that's the emotion that you can help him work through. And it isn't that you have to do it psychologically. Just create joyful things.
Yeah, I've kind of been doing that.
I know you have. And the other thing is, sweetie, a little bit about you and your energy. You know, you are an angel of mercy. And that's not because you're a nurse. That's who you are.
Yeah.
When you go back into your light, your soul's going to go back to the angelic realm, and it's going to go to the realm of compassion and mercy, and that's an actual order within that angelic realm. And so you just have that given sense inside you. I call it that God-given sense, to just know what to say when, to be able to help boost somebody's spirits. But very truthful. You're not about false hope. You're not about, you know, lightness about it. You're very, very mindful, very deep, very sensitive, very compassionate. And that's what he needs really a lot right now, because that will help transmute that energy of sadness, that emotion.
And, you know, one thing, too, you were talking about relationships, and, you know, we both happen to be single, and I think that maybe the reason we're drawn together is more because of the things you were just talking about, but at times there's this fondness between us, and I don't know, you know, how long he has, you know, it's kind of scary, I think, you know, mm-hmm. for both of us, because I think there is an attraction there, and I'm trying to help and protect myself at the same time. So I don't know if you pick up anything around.
I do.
Okay.
I do. The thing is that help and let your intuition do the protection. Don't let your past and the psychological aspects of what you've experienced in past relationships limit your opportunity to be able to experience him for who he is. Take a risk, sweetie. I don't know what that looks like, because he's at the same place wanting to take a risk. His baggage, we all have it, and that particular thing. But don't let your past limit the opportunity or hold you back in the opportunity to heal yourself while healing someone else, and to touch this real connection that the two of you have. You come from the same soul family. You've had other lifetimes together. You share the same philosophical perspective on healing. These are wonderful connections that you have, and I would just take it a day at a time and just allow it to flow and go with it, truthfully.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
And, you're welcome. And he wants that too, by the way.
He does.
Yeah, I could. He's in here with me, and his energy's in there going, woohoo, 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 woohoo. High five, Carol. High five, Carol.
Because, you know, he's kind of guarded about letting me know, really.
Well, sure. I mean, he's a guy. He's conditioned that way and everything. But just look at how receptive he is to the little things that you do. Look at how his body changes if you touch his hand or you touch his shoulder or something, just in that gentle, compassionate way. I mean, honey, he melts. He just melts. This is the time, you know, our past can really keep us from really experiencing things, and I just don't want you to do that this time.
Oh, okay, great. And then is there anything holistically that might help? I mean, I've been using, you know, there's some oils. Actually, frankincense works with cancer of the brain, but I didn't know if there's anything else.
It does. And then the other thing is, why don't you look into some tuning forks, look in to some music therapy, and see if we can raise his vibration through the vibration of music or toning, or I keep getting Tibetan bowls. He's got a real strong connection with Tibet, and doing something like that, and see if we can change the vibration of his chakras and increase them to the point where it will help his body become more adept at healing.
Okay. Oh, Carol, I so appreciate this today. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thank you very much. Okay, let's take Barbara from Minnesota.
Can you
hear
me,
Barbara?
Carol?
I can, sweetie. How are you? And how's Minnesota? You've been cold.
Oh, yeah. It's been cold, but not too snowy, so we're good.
That's good.
Get around. Yeah. Oh, well, it's so funny, Carol. I'm so happy I could get a hold of you. Before I even called, I wrote down a few things.
Good.
And, of course, the number one thing was letting go.
Yes.
So it's kind of the theme, right? The other thing is I have left hip pain, and the other word is career. So I don't know if any of this connects or...
Yes, it does. You're a very good medical intuitive, by the way. All right. So there's something in the career that literally is holding you back. You want to step forward, but you can't. It feels like it's probably got to do with maybe management. You feel like you've got some solutions inside that may take care of some of the issues they're dealing with, you're dealing with, but for some reason it feels like it's kind of falling on deaf ears. Is that true?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in that particular case, so you literally are kind of at that threshold, sweetie. You're very good at what you do, Barbara. To walk away from it, I don't think would be in your best interest, especially right now, sweetie. But I think stepping back and looking at what you can influence and change and what you can't would be very, very helpful and beneficial to you personally. I think that the person that is standing in front of me that energetically is your roadblock, I would use your intuition and your ability to be able to, your observation skills to figure out how to get around this person. The other thing is that your nature feels like that you help people look good. That seems to be one of the wonderful roles. Boy, I'd love to have you working with me because you'd make me look like I was absolutely fabulous all the time.
Well, you are.
Well, thank you very much. Boy, was that fishing for that. Woo, thank you for taking that on. I'm Minnesota fishing there, sweetie. But one of the things is you do. You really do a lot of supportive work to make people's lives easier, their job easier, to make them look good in their eyes of their own peers or those above them. And one of the things is that when a personality does that, they tend to carry that responsibility, kind of like we carry a baby on a hip or a burden on our back. And so in that hip area, what we have is we have tight muscles. We have tight muscles. That's it. But those tight muscles are pulling on that sacroiliac joint, the pelvic girdle, the lumbar part of the spine. I can pick it up in the upper thoracic part. I can pick it up in the neck part. So it's actually migrating as far as muscle tension up your back. And anytime that occurs, it's going to put more pressure in the muscles on the hips themselves. Going in, is it the right hip?
It is the left hip.
Okay.
Well, I mean, both sides. I mean,
yeah. No, that's okay, sweetie, because the right hip is what was screaming out at me. It's the one saying,
okay.
My gosh, Carol, I'm carrying all this stuff. So maybe what it's doing is that the left hip, I'll go in and look at it, but let me go to the right. The right hip is trying to compensate for what's going on in the body. That's where you carry a lot of the burden of responsibility is on that hip itself. And my sense is when I look at that, we have a muscle issue. It is not pulling on the ball socket itself. It's not actually creating deterioration on the right side, but it does have your legs not equal in their length, and it's causing your stride to get off. Is that accurate?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so now I'll go over to the left side. So the right side is muscular, so you could use stretching, you could use a non-force chiropractic treatment. You could use acupuncture, acupressure, even some reflexology. You could look at doing Rolfing or Alexander technique or Feldenkrais. All of those will help you with the skeletal part because this is an old pattern that's tied to career, whether it's this career or any career. So left side. I've got a lot of injuries. Did you break your leg and ankle when you were a kid a couple times?
Nope.
Did you twist it? I've got old injuries in the left ankle. I can find that left ankle twisted and turned and
I did twist one of my ankles. I can't remember which one. I thought it was my right one. Number of years ago, not terribly long ago.
Yeah.
But
I can pick up some old injuries in the ankle. I can pick up some injuries in the knee based on the ankle. I've gone up and I've looked at the left hip. We do have some cartilage degeneration. I looked very quickly for bone degeneration. I'm not finding that. It's still, the femur is still seated in the ball socket the way that it needs to. But I've got some cartilage breakdown there. I was looking for hip replacement. I went in, actually, when I was directed there, I went in to see if you needed hip replacement. It's like, no, she really doesn't. She just has a cartilage breakdown. I think if we work on it muscularly and try to get those muscles to relax on the spine, and then that'll relax the left leg, and the muscles down through the hamstrings. That's the biggest boogaboo in both legs or your hamstrings. You might want to do some stretching on that. That'd help. But I'm not finding deterioration of the bone itself to where we have a hip replacement that's pending.
Oh, great. Good. So if I intervene a little bit, maybe I can straighten that out a bit.
I do believe you can. And one of the things that you'll want to do is you might want to check your shoes. Be sure that you have a real good arch support in both feet, but more so in the left foot itself, just because of the way I'm picking up the ankle. And again, it feels like as a child that it just twisted, and it's got a buildup of energy that just kind of hangs around it all the time. And I think that the right leg is trying to support you and pick up the weight of it.
Okay. All right.
So hesitation there. Fill me in. Is there something?
Well, I'm just wondering if there's some ancient history I need to kind of
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. There is ancient history there, honey. And it's very interesting because the person we're talking about in the career has a lot of likeness to that ancient history, don't they?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what do we need to do to get that burden off your back? Do we need to change? Don't change careers. You feel really good at what you do. What do you do?
I'm a mother.
Well, you're really good at being a mother, honey. You are really good at being a mother. So look at the person that's stopping you from being a mother and feeling good about it. Let me say it that way. So from that particular standpoint, from a career, now attaching that, knowing what you do, actually you felt like a nurse to me, sweetie, a healer. That's the first thing that I came in, that I picked up. And it's like, oh, she's in the healing profession. So one of the things that you can do with that is that we don't change the mother part of you, but what you might want to look at is what you can go and do outside. What I was going to suggest is that you look for other ways, before I knew it's the mother part, look for other places, other ways that you could use that caring compassion, that part of you that makes everybody look good and helps everybody in ways that can be really of value to other people. You feel like you need to just get out of a stagnant situation in the career, and you need to step out. But you need to step out in a way that you still do what you do well. So Soul just said to me, ask Barbara to go in and create a skills analysis. Now, I know that sounds very corporate, but I'd like you to put together all the things that you're good at, all the things that you're really good at, and all the things you love doing. And then that will help direct you as far as where the next step is going to be.
Okay.
That deep caring that comes with a mother is really very helpful. So you've already started this, haven't you?
I kind of have.
Yes, you have.
My notes together.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. It's kind of like, okay, she's already done this. Okay, so I just got the heads up. We've got 3 minutes. So what are your notes leading you to, sweet?
Focus, I guess. I have to focus.
Well, you can't focus on something if you don't know what that something is.
Right.
So what do is go in and find out, make a list, seriously, all the things that you're good at, really good at, and you love doing. That's going to help you gain clarity as far as where you could take your natural gifts and abilities and talents of your personality and be able to look outside of your environment to be able to find the right environment to use those. That's first and foremost. Once you find what those skills are, then it'll make it easier for you to start looking at different opportunities and positions and jobs or volunteering, whatever it may be, for you to go and start getting some of the support, the practice, the feedback that you need. So it's a step process. And then once you do that, then you can go in and actually start looking for something.
Okay. So, and the support and the feedback is what I'm really craving, I'm thinking.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. So instead of being a mother, you're a domestic engineer.
Okay.
Let's change some energy so you can get some value and so forth. The other thing is this person that's kind of standing there and stuff in that old history is they're afraid. Sweetie, they're afraid. So the old history is being with people that are afraid that if you change, then maybe you won't be who you are. I've got that fear of rejection that seems to be really, really strong inside you. So we need to just find ways to work around it.
Okay. And so you're saying I have the fear of rejection?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And the old boogaboo that keeps hanging and lingering is being rejected. So find ways that you don't. I hate to cut you off, my love. I've got to go. Thank you all for joining me today. I love my conversations with Carol Show and spending time with you. You can listen to this show on my archives at Reitberger, RITBERGER.com. Light and love to all of you. Have a wonderful week and enjoy the ride of this energy. I'll see you next week on the radio.
You've been listening to the Carol Reitberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.